they'll say, I want to go to church so I can get my worship on. You ever heard that? Yeah, it's like, yeah. How many of you have ever heard, I need to go to church so I can get fed? You ever heard that phrase, something like that, right? Yeah. How many of you, when you think of the word worship, your head just kind of goes to song, singing? How many of you probably, maybe just a little bit, like, no, I don't want to say that because then he might be setting me up, and then if I do, and da-da-da. Yeah, okay, fine. A lot of us do. I would imagine a lot of us do, because we would so often think praise and worship, right? And so worship music, and anyways. And so I wanted to just take some time today to focus in on this word worship. And as we talk about, we go to church, and what do? When we are at church together? We worship, right? And there's these different things that we're doing, and I want to get to that. But I wanted to take some time to kind of put this topic into our what and why. Like, what are we doing, and why are we really doing what we're doing here this morning? And so if I'm going to answer the what and the why, let me start with the what and say that that word worship, it comes from our word comes from an old English word that means worth ship. So W-O-R-T-H and then ship, S-H-I-P. It's important you pronounce that second half correctly when you put them in. So worth ship, right? Which means the condition of being worthy or deserving. So when we think of worship, this is where this is coming from. Reminds me of an old story of an old pastor who was in the service one time, and they had a part in his service where he was taking up a special offering. If you've never heard of that term, a special offering, that means the first one wasn't good enough, so they took up a second one. Just kidding. They had a it means that. Stay with me now. They were taking up a very special, unique offering for a cause, right? And so they're doing that, and the pastor's taking up a special offering. And before the offering is taken up, and so the pastor decided that he would make a deal. And so he told the church, he said, okay, now here's the thing. Whoever gives the most, you get to pick three of your favorite hymns, and we're going to sing them. And so let them go. And so the offering came in, they brought it to him, and he looks in the basket, and he sees there's a $500 bill in the basket. It's not something you really see anymore. And he goes, okay, so somebody gave $500, and the guy in the back points to an elderly woman in the back. And so he says, well, come on forward. And so he gets her on up there and comes up and stands next to him. And he says, thank you so much for your giving. What are your three songs? What are the three hymns that you choose for today? And we're going to do those. And she looks out and she goes, well, I pick him. And him, and him. Yes, I know. That's right. All right. So, worship in a... See, that's going to stick with you. You might not remember anything else I say, but that will go with you today. And that's... All right, so I've got to step it up a notch, I guess. So, worship in a church community, which we are, is all about us communicating to God the worth of the value to him as a holy God. That's really what it's all about. So our songs that we have sung today, and the offering that we took up, and so the prayers that have been offered to God, and then my attempt at teaching today, for example, and being sent out into the world later, these things that we do, that those are acts of our worship that are not about what we get out of them, but the value and the worth that they ascribe to God, that we do them for him because he is a holy God. And I'll get into it in a little bit of why we do the things that we do. The things that we do, though, it's worth noting that they're shaped by Scripture. The singing, the praying, the teaching, the giving, the anointing, the sending out, right? These are things that what we do as the body of Christ together are shaped by the teachings of Scripture. And it's really been a product of theologians and church leaders over centuries, going back to the early church, who have been trying to mine or search the word and look at the culture of the day and figure out, like, what does worship look and sound like with the technology that we have available to us? In the culture in which we live in today, like, what does that look like and sound like? In the language, how do we do that? Okay. And I'll just base, anyway, so in the cultural norms of the day, it's probably the easiest way to sort of look at it. They've been wrestling with, what does it look like? What does it sound like? And the Scripture becomes this thread that goes through them all. Everything that we do. I was in a church and had a friend of mine, his name was Don, and you'd have, he'd hear somebody in the church who would say, man, it's amazing. Like the very thing that, like, Pastor, what you talked about today, that's what we were talking about in our Sunday school lesson today, or the very thing that they prayed about. That's the very thing that we were praying about here. And what they said was what was said here. And when you used to do the offering, and then like the kids, they were doing that there. And the teacher made the same kind of point that you made. And people would just be like amazed that it would, that all that kind of interconnected. And old Don was so good, and he would just step forward and he would say, well, it's because the Scripture is a thread through it all. That everything that we're doing is grounded in the Word. So it ought not be surprising that when you go to worship together and the different things that you do and say, that you would find the Scripture is a thread through them all. Worship God in truth and in spirit. The truth and this heart surrendered and postured open for the Lord, where the Spirit of God is present and is working and is moving, is this thread, these like threads that just kind of intertwine through every single act of worship, and it's beautiful. And it's not about what I'm going to get out of that. It's not about what I'm going to get. It's about what I'm going to give. And what God will do in response to what I'm giving as an act of ascribing to Him the worth and the value that He's due. Why? I'm glad you asked that. In the book of Revelation, have you noticed how Revelation has been kind of a theme book that we've been in through this series? But I want to read this passage out of Revelation, where it says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, because you created all things. It is by your will that they existed and were created." You see, even in, and the picture is that even in heaven, as the beings that are in heaven are there, it's not about anything that they would get from being in heaven. That their existence there in heaven is not about themselves. It's about them ascribing glory and honor and praise to God, for who is due everything that He could be given. Because why? Because He's God. He is God. I was at the gym earlier this week, as I'm sure you can tell, and my neighbor is a nice. And I regroup. And so I was at the gym with my neighbor, and we were, it was Friday. And so we got talking about worship, and I said, I'm talking about worship Sunday at church. He's like, what is it? And why do we do it? And I was like, I'm doing a series called What and Why. And he just stops and he's like, man, that is a great, great series. I'm like, I know. I'm a little biased, but I mean, I felt like, because it's so important to know what you do and why you do it. Don't just do something because everybody else is doing it in a sense, unless you truly understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. He was like, oh, yes. And I said, Sunday, I'm talking about worship. And he loves worship. I got him excited. You just saw his countenance just, whew, you know, kind of like lifts up a little bit, right? And so we get talking about my message a little bit. And at the heart of it, you know, it's like, why do we do this? So I want to ask you, why is God, I've already told you, because God is worthy, right? So why would you say, like in your head, you're like, why is God worthy of our worship? And just some ideas. And if you're worshiping online with this, feel free to type in the comments so we can see that as well, too. Why do you think God is worthy of worship? You can answer. Why we were created to worship. So as he is creator, and so we worship him as such. Who else? Somebody else. Out of respect and honor him. Honor he's due, give him respect. Yes, yes. Somebody else? Because he loves us. Yeah. If you get one of the answers, somebody puts one online, holler it out so I can share it today. I want to kind of give them a shout out today so they know we're with them. So, anybody else?
Because Jesus.
There you go, right? And so thinking, what about Jesus? He gave his life. He gave his life for us. So he's our Savior. He gave his life so that we could be saved from death and have eternal life through our faith. Yes, wonderful.
Online.
Yeah.
Because if not for him, we have nothing.
Great response. Thank you very much for that.
Because we're thankful.
For all he's done, because we are thankful, a response of gratitude. I love it. I can't help but think of, you know, in all things with prayer and supplication, present your requests to God, right? It says, what attitude should you do that? With a heart of thanksgiving. I love it. Yeah. You guys are so good. So, well, you kind of covered like half my list here. So the fact that he's worthy because he's the ruler, the Lord of heaven and of earth. I think of him being thankfully, he's the provider of all that is good. And I love this one, this idea. He's the restorer, restoration. You know, if you like to rebuild something, take something that's sort of worn down and make it new again. I mean, that's a wonderful analogy to our God. He's like a restorer, right, of the good life. So here's the thing. If you open your Bible and you started reading in Genesis and you went through to Psalms, and then you went all the way into Revelation, you would see this common thread throughout all of the books that are there that's pointing to it being right and being good to give God thanks and praise for who he is, for what he has done, for what he has told us is true, for the wisdom that he has given to us, for what he's accomplished by his power. Just stop and think for a second. I have had the tendency before to think that things that I have accomplished that are noteworthy in my life have had a lot to do with my own abilities. And granted, I had to put work into it, right? As we all do. But if you think about the things that are all around us, creation, life, the miracles that happen. By the way, God still does miracles, okay? He's still a miracle working, chain breaking, restorative. It's the same God he's ever been, right? He hasn't changed a lick, as we say. Everything that God has done, he did not use our strength, our power to be able to accomplish it. He really did it through his own power and strength. We worked with him, but it is by his power, right? Thus I can, and scripture says, thus I can what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not me, it's Christ in me. But I can do, better translation is I can endure all things. I like to use that when I'm running sometimes and I'm feeling whooped and I'm like, I can endure this through Jesus. Lord, I know it's out of context, but I love it. It gives me courage and hope. I'm going to get to the end. no person, no other God can take credit because it is all upon the Lord. And as we heard in Psalm 96 already, all the gods of the nations are just idols. There's only one God. Only one. God said through Isaiah, he said, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. We gather and we do the things that we do as a church when we worship, right? Because God is worthy of it all. Would you agree? I know, I can see the heads nodding in your ear. You guys believe, yes, God is worthy of our worship. All right, point number two. How many have ever heard, let's do it that way because we've always done it that way? Has anybody ever heard that? Yeah? Why do we worship as a church? Because we've always done it. You say, are you going to turn that around? And like, because we usually turn that around, don't we? Like we use it in the other way. But I want to use it in this way today. We come together and we worship because that is our religious tradition. It is what we do as the people of God. When I think back to some of my earliest childhood memories, I can't quite go remember like from darkness to light. I don't remember that. But when I was the youngest, my youngest years that I can really remember, I remember sitting in a wooden pew. And I remember sitting next to my brother. That didn't always last too long before we got separated. But I do remember that. And I'm not going to tell stories. I just let it go. So I remember sitting in those wooden pews during church services. And I can't always remember much of, what was happening or what's said or what we did. I remember being there, right? Truthfully, being a part of a church worship service is part of who I am. It's my religious tradition. It's what I know. I don't know life apart from that. It's what I've always done. And it's what I've believed and been taught is what is the right thing to do as the people of God, is to gather and to celebrate God, right? And to be around the people of God. I don't know life any differently than that. That's just who I am. You know, the earliest Jewish Christian community in the book of Acts, when they got together, because they were Jewish, they already had this history of celebrating the Sabbath together and going to the temple together. I mean, that's what they did, okay? That's what everybody did as Jews, to worship God. And then these Christians who didn't really stop being Jews, they just believed that, well, Jesus is the Messiah. And he's come, just like the word Scripture says he's going to. And so they just began to meet on a regular basis. And can you guess what day they began to meet on? On a Sunday. They began to meet on a Sunday. And there was two reasons for this. One, who was raised from the dead on Sunday? Christ, the first day of the week, right? So when they met on Sunday, they were meeting to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes when we gather like today in more contemporary times, we'll tend to put a lot of emphasis on the death of Christ. But they weren't really lifting up the death of Christ as much as they were the resurrection, because in the resurrection there's open for new life. Yes, right? Yes, thank you, Jesus, that you overcame the grave and death, and we get to as well. And man, boy, could we just preach that for a while. But at the same, so they were gathering in, they're just recognizing the resurrection of Jesus, but they're also remembering that first day of creation as well. First day of the week. Think back to the first day of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and thinking about the light that came in to separate the darkness. and how we are living in darkness until the light of Christ enters into our life and rebirths us, raises us from that being dead in sin to be new creations in Christ. You talk about rich with so much significance and meaning to think about the light at the beginning of creation and the light of Christ through the resurrection and what that does in our lives and what is the significance of what it means and who we are, what we believe and how we live and what we do and what we're waiting for. It's just so much. That breath was strategic, by the way. And I was out of breath. Acts chapter 2, 42 says the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. And it's sort of understood that this was happening on a weekly basis as they were gathering. Anybody ever heard of Justin Martyr? Okay, just me. So he was an early Christian philosopher from the second century, and I came across this quote, and I love it. He says, "We all hold this common gathering on Sunday, since it is the first day on which God, transforming darkness and matter, made the universe. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, rose from the dead on the same day." You know, since the beginning of the Christian church, she has believed it is important and it has significance for the church to gather and to worship God weekly as the body of Christ, the family of God. 2,000 years later, here we are. It's our religious tradition. We're doing what we've always done. But we know why we're doing what we've always done, and that's what makes the difference. Now I want to share with you one that I think is, not I think, I shouldn't say that. I just love it. I just love this third one. Worship, why do we worship? Why do we get together and do this? Guys, because when worshiping together creates an encounter with God. "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there with them." The Spirit of God is with the body of Christ when she gathers to celebrate God and to praise him for all of his goodness and for what he's done and for what he has said is to be true and what has to been done and what is to happen. And we come into this building or we're online and we're together and we bring the week's experiences with us, don't we? Anybody deal with stress this week? Anybody deal with a little heartache? Anybody have some joys this week? Anybody work themselves to the ground this week, working super hard this week? Any of you guys dealing with any conflict, any relationships, maybe with a spouse or a partner or kids or grandkids? I know you wouldn't put your hand up on that one and don't elbow each other either. Just keep that in your head for the moment. Anybody wrestle with any sickness, feeling under the weather, maybe any financial stressors this week? Job, new job, ending one, starting a new one. I know that when you walk through those doors or when you join in online, I know that you bring with you whatever you had before you walked in those doors. It doesn't just poof leave us because we just walked through the doors and life just all of a sudden got hunky-dory. No, you bring it with you. That's reality. Worship is bringing all that stuff with you when you come to God, and it's presenting it to him and recognizing that he is more than able to handle what concerns us today. It's not coming so that we can get something. It's coming so that we can give glory to God, and in giving the glory, it's then that we get what we need to be sustained and to move forward and to heal and to grow, to be stronger, to be more courageous, to be more bold with our faith and our words and our witness, our testimony in the world. Worship begins with giving. And as you give, it's then that you receive. It's better to give than it is to receive. Well, absolutely. And that verse has much more to do with it than with just money. It's an attitude of worship. And we stand alongside each other in this space, or we sit. And when we do that, we're listening to announcements, right? I mean, we're singing about God. We're praying to God in the name of Christ. We are learning about God and worship for today, right? Through the Bible and our offering as well. And then you're going to be dismissed out the doors. You're going to walk back in to whatever you just walked out of to come in this building. And it's still going to be there. And it's not all going to be fixed. And when you walked in these doors and you sat for about an hour or so here in worship, you'll notice we didn't fix anything in anybody's life today. Because that's not our point. And that's not our purpose. God is the purpose that we gather together. That cross that we have in our sanctuary, a reminder of the reason for why we have gathered in this place. Not just that he died, but that he's risen from the dead, and in him we have hope for eternal life with our Creator in heaven. We have hope. Even in the midst of hardships, when you walk out the door, you have hope. And I believe it says we gather together that the Holy Spirit is ministering to us in this time. He's ministering peace where there is chaos, restoration where there is brokenness, joy where there is sorrow and heavy of heart, freedom where there is bondage and addiction, and hope where there is despair. He's shining light into the darkness, inspiring faithfulness and strength where there is doubt and weariness. Why? Because the scripture says that God is working for the good of those who love him. And when you come in here with the heart to say, I want to lift up the name of God, it is there that the Spirit of God meets you and ministers hope and healing and peace and joy and sustenance, providing for you and raising you up. So that when you do walk out of this space and you walk into school, you walk out into your job, your place of employment, you walk back into that relationship that is a little kind of chaotic, that you will have what you need so that you can stand. And when you don't feel like you can stand any longer, you can continue to stand. Not with cockiness or a haughtiness because I have Jesus and you don't, so I'm better. No, but simply because I have Jesus and he will sustain me in this moment. I am more than an overcomer in Christ. I have what I need. May not feel like I got it right now, but I trust that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And he will provide because his word says he will provide. My job is to give him the trust, to give him the praise, to give him the adoration. Come on, to give him the exaltation, to acclaim to him, to proclaim about him that he is a good God. And oh, won't you trust him? Would you just give him a chance? See, when we, I think when we invite people into worship, we're not just inviting them to be another number in a seat or another dollar bill in the offering plate. We're inviting them into an encounter with God, that God could change a life. Because he's able to do that. And I want to share my faith that I believe God is worthy and able. Leslie and I have had the opportunity to experience this firsthand. When you read something or somebody tells you something and you go, yeah, that sounds kind of true, but you're like, I don't really know about that. That ever kind of happen? Yeah. So this is one of those things for me. My father-in-law, I've talked about Leslie and I ministered in the Vandenberg County Jail. And we were doing this before COVID, and he'd been doing it for years. And he would tell us, because he's trying to get me for a while. Like, you need to do this, right? And so he was describing the experience, and I'm like, I don't know about that. What you talking about? You know, kind of thing. And I was like, okay. Come to find out, he was right. What I'm talking about is Leslie and I would go into the jail, and we would once a month lead a worship service with some of the female inmates who were incarcerated for a season. And so we would get there, and they would be brought into the room. They'd all kind of sit down, right? And so as they would kind of all get their place, we'd start the service. And, you know, one of the things you notice when you look out at the ladies that were there is that some of them put on a really super strong front, right? They're like, they are, they're just, you know, cocky, super overconfident, right? It's like they got the big S, super man, woman, whatever, you know, kind of thing. It's like, and it's just, I don't know, in the room. Like, it gets started that way, and you just kind of see it, you know. It's like, man, walking in, you know, and put a suit, you know, it's just like, it kind of has the air to it, right? And then you get into the service itself, and you start to realize, you start to see the brokenness, because that air of cockiness and overconfidence starts to get ministered to by the Spirit of God and starts to just kind of soften and melt away a bit. And we'd be praying and then teaching, and you'd have sometimes a person that would ask a question. Like, we just stop right in the middle of it. I got a question, you know, and I would try my best, and somebody else kind of stood it, would try to answer that same question. And at first it was disturbing. I was like, don't interrupt me. You know, I mean, that's just kind of what I felt, being honest, you know, but then you stop and it's like, you see, but here's the thing though, because this lady over here understands the worldview and the culture and the way the thoughts, the way the other lady on the other side of the room sees the world and thinks. And she's able to respond to an answer in a more practical way than what I did. And you see the other person's go, oh, okay, yeah. And then you see somebody else wasn't even talking to that begins to go, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then you may see somebody else who gets it, and you just see the brokenness take over them. And their eyes start to water. And just see their posture just start to sink. You just see God, His Spirit moving and impacting people's lives right there in that worship service. And women are having an encounter with God, not because of me, but because of the Spirit of God. We gave that moment to God, that the Lord and the Holy Spirit would do whatever He wanted to do in that moment. Because if we would give it to Him, then we would get an experience where God would be present and He would work. And women would find healing and find encouragement and hope in those moments and saying, thank you so much. And other women would just walk out with the arm around one of the other ladies in the room, you know, as they leave. And you just see this fellowship, connectivity around Jesus taking place. And you come back the next month and somebody else. And you see new ladies coming in. Some of the ones you had before would be gone. I learned that it was humbling, but so good to learn. Man, worship's not about me. Worship's about God. And God doesn't need me to make worship happen. If I just come in and just give that moment to God and be a conduit for the Lord to work in a space with people, God is more than able to work in the lives of the people that are there. I just need to be a conduit, right? I need to be a steward, a manager of that moment, and just empty myself into that moment and just say, whatever, God, with whoever, Man, if you knew how many times I would write out my manuscript for my message in the jail, and it didn't go like that at all. Seriously. You know what I started doing? I quit kind of writing it. It's like, this is crazy. It never goes the way I plan. I know what I want to talk about, and I just follow where it goes. In the time, it just kind of brings it out of you in that moment, right? You know who taught me that? My father-in-law. He did. Because he would experience the same kind of thing. And I thought, you're crazy. You got to be prepared going in here, man. You need to know. Like, you can't stand around. You got to put the time in there. He's like, Just do it. And I began to do it. You see, that doesn't happen just in jails and prisons. It happens right here. It happens with you worshiping online together as a community. The Spirit of God is in this place, not just within us, but around us. This is a holy ground. Not because of that. It's not because of that. It doesn't make this a holy place. The Spirit of God makes this a holy place. As the people of God gather in the name of Jesus Christ to bring worth, value and show God the worth that is due his name, for he deserves our glory, honor, and power, for he is God, creator, savior, sustainer, redeemer, restorer, life giver, chain breaker. He is everything that you need and even more. When we come to lift him up, the Spirit of God makes this a holy place. And I would say, it doesn't surprise me that where the Spirit of the Lord is, that he would be working towards freedom from darkness and freedom from bondage and freedom from discouragement and depression. Because he's working for your good. Because he loves you. And you may think it's too late and too much sitting in front of you. No. That's just what you feel. Don't let your feelings determine your faith. Because your feelings will lie to you. But your faith will lead you to trust. It'll lead you to strength. It'll lead you to hope. So may we never stop gathering to worship our glorious God, who is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. It is right and it is good. Amen. Amen. Amen.